God, we can never praise you enough, not during this hour together on Sunday morning, nor for the 24/7 that we have the rest of the week. We can't praise you enough and thank you enough. God, we give to you and ask that these gifts would be used for your glory, for your purposes. May it be always your agenda and never our own, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our second lesson today is taken from the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. And it starts in chapter 5, verse 20. Verse 13. And since it's 2 Corinthians, that means Paul has already written one letter to the Corinthians. And as I was prepping for this, I was thinking about Paul. And I know Pastor Dave's going to have this amazing sermon in a few minutes, continuing his series. And Paul was never afraid. He was never afraid to talk to any group. And he praises the church. Boy, when we sent you that first letter, you accepted Christ immediately. And then he says, what's wrong with you now? You know, it's that little, like, Christian give slap in the back of the head. And Paul is so good at that. He chews people up. They don't even know they're being chided. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If you are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, when we regard no one from the world, from a worldly point of view, though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. I know I started this series the week before Father's Day and thought, well, you know, maybe you want a little bit of a Father's Day message this morning. Well, I think we can tie this in to Father's Day to some degree. And that is how our fathers can help us with our fear. And I just wanted to share a little something I grabbed this week, kind of an illustration of the need for forgiveness and reconciliation. This is from Ernest Hemingway, his short story, The Capital of the World. He grasps some of the difficulties that characterize his relationships between fathers and sons in his short story. The story revolves around a father and his teenage son, Paco, set in Spain. Paco was an extremely common name in Spain at that time. With desires to become a matador and to escape his father's control, Paco runs away to the capital, from which the title is derived from this book, The Capital of the World. Of Spain, Madrid. His father, desperate to reconcile with his son, follows him to Madrid and puts an ad in a local newspaper with a simple phrase, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the Madrid newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven. I love you." Hemingway then writes the next day at noon in front of the newspaper office, there were 800 Pacos all seeking forgiveness. The world is full of people in need of forgiveness and reconciliation, isn't it? The model for such forgiveness is the most profoundly found in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, that being said, as we've been talking about this whole idea of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and why we have all these reasons we give why we have difficulty in doing so. And last week we talked about the deception that it's only meant for those who are kind of professionals at that. Evangelists who do that. People who are gifted in that area of sharing with others the gospel message and who are well learned in scripture and all that sort of stuff. And as we were talking last week, no, that's deceptive. We're all called to evangelize. We may not be evangelists in that narrow sense of the word, but we are all called to share the good news of Jesus Christ as much as we know of that good news of Jesus Christ. Think about it. When you're a babe in Christ, it's like you're a babe in your family. What can a little baby or a little toddler or a little 4 or 5 year old tell about their daddy? Not a whole lot. Because they don't know a whole lot yet, right? But they know that they love their daddy. They know that daddy will catch them when they jump off the refrigerator and then jump downhill. He'll make sure he grabs them and holds on to them. They know a little bit about daddy, but they don't know a whole lot about daddy. And I think that's the whole idea. What last week was the deception is you don't have to be a seminary graduate. What you know about your experience with Christ is enough to get started and share the good news with other people who need to hear the good news. But what I wanted to share with you this morning is this second one, and this is perhaps one of the biggest ones. It's fear. It's fear. It's that fear of sharing, of witnessing to other people. And here is just a few phrases that I have here that would be phrases that you and I might use to not witness out of fear. I'm afraid that I might do more harm than good. I don't know enough, so I'm afraid I might just do more harm than good if I share. Or, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Sometimes we find ourselves just dumbfounded. We don't know what to say. I may not be able to give snappy answers to tricky questions. You know, once I open up that can of worms and I share it with someone and then they start coming back with all this other stuff, what do I say? What do I say? They may look at me as being bigoted. Oh, here's one of them Christians telling me about their Lord, and they think I'm a bigoted person because they must think that I'm a bad person or whatever. I'm fearful that I might invade someone's privacy. It is a very intimate thing, isn't it? Sharing one's faith, it's personal. It's very personal. Perhaps one might, in answering that fear, might say, you know, sometimes it's good, and it's always good, to wait on the Holy Spirit. There are times when it may not be appropriate at the time to share your faith. Wait. Maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, now's not the time. Maybe after you punch someone in the nose, may not be the right time to share your faith. I'm just saying. I'm afraid I might fail. Oh, the fear of failure. Any of you got the fear of failure sometimes? You know, you don't want to start with something because you're afraid you're going to fail. Or I'm afraid I might be a hypocrite. You know, if I could toss that one aside right from the very beginning, the church is full of hypocrites. In the very narrow sense of that word, in the sense that none of us are perfect followers of Jesus Christ. Really, I maybe you should back off on that a little bit, because hypocrite by definition is someone, I think, who's purposely kind of representing in some way, and maybe we're not, but in the sense that we're none of us are holy, perfect, righteous people. We all still have this problem with sin. We're still trying to die to that old self and live in that new creation, but we slip, we fall, we fail. We walk out that door on Sunday morning within 5 minutes. Oh, crud. What did I just do? All these are fears. Fears of witnessing. And there's others. Well, what might they do if I share it my job? How are they going to label me? The fear of rejection. Inadequacy. Oh, there's so many. How do you and I overcome the fear of sharing? How do you and I overcome that fear of sharing that thing that should be the most important thing in our life? How do we do it? Well, I think the answer to that is we have to face the fact that we have a phobia, a fear. And when you have that fear, sometimes the best thing to do is to just face it. I have shared, I think, with you at some point in the past about an occasion one time when we were visiting with my brother and his family when our kids were very little. In fact, Matt and Amber were born and Courtney was still cooking in Santa Lisa for a little bit. And we went over to a neighbor's house of my brother's and we were in a pool. We're all swimming around and stuff at a shallow end and a deep end. And Matt and Amber were on the shallow end. Amber had her little, what do you call those things, the floaties that you wear. And Lisa was several months pregnant at the time, kind of enjoying herself in a chair off to the side of the pool, and so was my sister-in-law. And Roger and I, of course, we're all showing off at the deep end, jumping off the diving board looking like idiots. But we weren't paying much attention to what was going on at the shallow end. Amber decided to take off the floaties. Jump in. She jumped in and she went under. We didn't see it right away, but Lisa did. Seeing this pregnant woman jump into the water to save her little girl. And she did. She wasn't in there for very long. But she got out of the pool and Lisa was holding on to her. And of course, I felt bad because I was at the deep end having fun and didn't see it right away. As soon as I saw it, I'm trying to head that way, but Lisa was already there. It was already taken care of. But we thought what we needed to do, because she had this shocked look in her face. Amber didn't know what really had happened. And we thought the best thing for her to do is to get back in the water. Get back in the water. With the floaties on. Get back in the water. Because you see, if she wouldn't have gotten back in the water, I'm wondering if she would have continued on with this fear. This phobia. Of the water because of what had just happened and that shocked look in her face when she went under. And so we got her back in the water. I think that's what you and I need to do sometimes too. We need to face our phobia. We need to get back into the water and we need to just keep on going. Because it says in this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14, it says here, if what really is going on inside of our heart is true, Christ's love compels us. Am I convinced? Am I compelled? To be compelled means we're urged into action. Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says that Jeremiah couldn't keep it inside himself. He couldn't keep it to himself, but he had to share whatever it is God had him to share with the people of Israel. Sometimes we just have to face the fact that we've got fear. And then what we need to do is let God take over. That's the part we miss sometimes. We're still trying to do it all in our own strength, and we need to let God take over, just like God took over, even though Moses had a problem with it. Remember Moses and his mouth? I can't talk. I stutter. I can't talk very well. I mean, God, don't use me. Use someone else. And God did help him with it. He did give him Aaron, but he still used Moses' mouth as well. or David with his slingshot. How can a guy with a little slingshot kill this mammoth of a giant who's got stuff all over him to protect him? See, let God take over. And David acknowledged it was God who killed the giant. It wasn't David. Or Gideon and the army. When God slices the army down to just a few hundred people, when he's going up against tens of thousands of people, God wanted Gideon to know, I've got it. You don't have it. And he learned, let God take over. And when you and I let God take over, eventually that fear dissipates. Eventually that fear goes away. Let the Holy Spirit lead, like we sang in that song just before the message this morning. Let the Holy Spirit lead us. So we have to face it, but face it in that way. Don't face it on your own. And as I told you earlier, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a graduate of Bible college. You don't have to be an ordained pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist to be in this game. Just be you. Just be you. I think that sometimes your testimony to some people has a far greater effect than what mine might because of who I am. A pastor is perhaps expected to do some of that stuff because it's kind of like their profession or whatever. But there are people you can reach I could never reach. Because of your experience, because of your proximity to them, because of who you are, because of they see you in action. And you can reach some people. Perhaps I can reach some people you can't reach either. Isn't that what's wonderful about the whole thing? We're working on this all together and God's using each and every one of us in different kinds of ways. Why do we need to overcome fear? Paul says in the text again, in verse 16, because we no longer view things from a worldly point of view anymore. We see things differently now than we saw them before. We no longer view the world that way. He said he did before, but now he's not. He's viewing it from God's viewpoint, at least trying to. And if we don't see things from a worldly viewpoint anymore, we see things differently. Because otherwise, the worldly point of view would say, well, it's no skin off my back. I can be indifferent to those people around me, whatever. If they don't know, that's their problem. Besides, if I tell them, some of these things are going to happen. They're going to reject me. They're going to laugh at me. I'm going to feel inadequate. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. Or I look at that, the old point of view would say, well, if it benefits me, I might share something, but otherwise forget it. You know, it's easier to share a faith in church, isn't it? It'd be easy for some of you to stand up right now and say, this is what Christ has done for me. But the moment we step outside of the comfort zone of the church, it gets harder to do. Because here, everybody accepts it. You might even get an occasional amen. Praise the Lord. We don't do that a whole lot in this church. We've got to kind of up our game a little bit on that one. There we go. Not too much, and the pastor goes too long. That's why we don't do it, right? Yeah. Or we, the old point of view would say, will it demand anything from me? You know, sometimes I failed to witness because I didn't think I had time. I hope I always have time to share with someone something that's so important to me. But in the rush of the day, in the rush of the world, sometimes we think we just don't have time. So verse 16 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, we no longer view things from a worldly view point of view anymore. We view it differently. Verse 17, we are a new creation. The old fears should start to disappear. And that's where I want to challenge us this morning, is we need to face the phobia We need to realize that we do indeed have fears about that. But to realize this great gift that we have, this thing that we would like to share, is so great, maybe we ought to start sharing even when those fears are there. You know what God loves? I wasn't going to make this connection this morning, but God does things for me sometimes. The picture this morning, the kids. Just like when you and I share a faith, we think sometimes we did a horrible job of that. Oh, if I had it to do over again, I could have said this, I could have said that, and failed to say that, and I failed to say this, and oh, it was just awful. I feel horrible when I shared, and the person probably looked at me and thought, who is this kook? But God says, I love the intent of your heart. And the fact that you love me enough that you want to share something, even if it seemed garbled and mixed up and messed up a little bit, but you shared it anyway. Oh, I love you for doing that. You painted a beautiful picture for me. See, our responsibility is not to get the results. That's what we fail to realize sometimes. It is not our responsibility to get the results. It's only our responsibility to share from our heart. The Holy Spirit does that. God does that. God does that. If we are a new creation, then we're under new management. So we're under no obligation to the old anymore. And yet sometimes I still feel like I'm hooked on to the old. And I need to separate myself from the old nature and put on that new creature and be a new creature in Christ. I'm under new management. Why do I give ear to the old? Yet I do sometimes. Verse 18 of that text, he says, he committed the message of reconciliation to us. Oh boy. Now he tells me I do need to be a part of this. Because if I was reconciled to Christ, he says, you really need to tell others about that message of reconciliation. As the Holy Spirit leads, that's something too that you and I need to be more in tune with. Because you know, it goes a lot better when we let the Holy Spirit go ahead of us. Instead of just jumping in sometimes. I told you a while back I had a relative many years ago. He'd gone home to be with the Lord, but he had a different style of evangelism than I did. He wasn't in your face. He would go to the county fairs. He'd grab you if you even sort of looked at him. He'd set you right down next to you, and he'd go through Romans with you, and he'd go through, and he wouldn't leave you until you had said, either forget you or I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, out of fear. Bless his heart. I'm more of a relational kind of person. I'd rather get to know you before I share those intimate things in my life with you, because then I think you believe me when I share them. But you know, I'm sure some people were reached, and praise God for that. Praise God for that. But that approach would not have worked for me. That's not the way I operate. That's not the way God wired me. And because I guess I'm not wired that way, that tends to be the approach I use. I'd rather be relational with someone and I get to that point where I want to share the most important thing in my life with them. But he committed to you and to me, not just to Paul and the apostles, but to you and me, he committed the message of reconciliation. God gave it to us. And he said, do something with it. Let others know that they too can be reconciled to me. Just like the 800 Pacos. The 800 Pacos that all wanted their father to forgive them. And they didn't know, maybe it was their father that came to the Capitol and said, I want you, Paco, to come back to me because I love you and I forgive you. 800 Pacos came. Because they wanted the message of reconciliation to be theirs. Verse 20, and I'll close with this, says in that text that we just read, we are his ambassadors. We're given a specific job. What's an ambassador do? If you're an ambassador for the United States in another country, what are you doing? You're telling the people in the other country about this great country that you're a part of. And you want to have a relationship with that country. And so you're telling people you should be, as an ambassador, right? You should be talking about all the good things about the person or the country you're representing. And he tells us we need to be ambassadors for God. So what's that mean? That you and I go out there and we tell others who don't know God, hey, I'm an ambassador for God. And I just want you to know how much God loves me. And you know what? He'll love you just as much as he loves me. Doesn't matter how messed up you are. He'll love you just as much as he loves me. And I want to tell you a little bit more about this. That's what he's called you and I to do. I'm hoping as I share this with you, you know, I know fear doesn't go away that quickly. And I know you're still going to leave here, just like I still do sometimes myself. And we still live in this sense of fear. I'm scared of sharing because of what might come back my way from that sharing. How they may look at me, how they may respond to me. And I want you to work through that along with me and realize these precious things that are part of this. That you and I have the ministry of reconciliation. You and I are ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Him. He's entrusted this to me. We are under new management. Not the old creation, but the new creation. And we don't view things the way we used to view things. A lot of what we see now is about the eternal stuff, not just about the stuff that doesn't hang around forever. The stuff of this world decays and dies and leaves and all that sort of stuff. The eternal stuff lasts forever. That's what you and I are a part of now, right? That's what we believe in now, right? So I pray that you'd ask God to help you to overcome that fear of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the message of reconciliation that was given to us and that we received that message. And we are your child. We love you because you first loved us. Why don't we want to share that with other people? Well, one of those reasons is because we fear. And I think Satan's the one who puts that in our heart. Satan's the one who says you don't want to share because of how they might respond. God, first of all, we bind Satan and tell him to get the heck out of here. And ask, Lord, that you give us a spirit of love and care and patience and concern for other people. And that when we have the opportunity to share with them what you have done for us, that you'd give us that opportunity and we do it. Thank you, God, for bearing with us as we struggle along and don't do so well sometimes. But help us to keep plugging along because we're your ambassadors. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in closing to whatever the closing hymn is because I don't know where I put my bulletin. Oh, here it is. Let's go to 389, more about Jesus. All right, let's